Post-Hypnotic Press presents The Egg and I by Betty McDonald, narrated by Heather Henderson. Forward to the paperback edition. Betty McDonald, Our Mother, is in print again. We are delighted. Her books, The Egg and I, The Plague and I, Anybody Can Do Anything, Onions in the Stew, the four Mrs. Picklewickle books, and our favorite, Nancy and Plum, continue to delight adults and children around the world. Her first book, The Egg and I, was written in 1945, 42 years ago, at a time when, according to some men, women weren't supposed to be writers. They were supposed to stay at home, bake pies, and have babies. If a woman was lucky enough to have a boy, she was lavished with presents and praise. If she was unlucky enough to give birth to a daughter, it's only a girl, she was rewarded with a pat on the leg, a new apron, and warming phrases such as, "Better luck next time." An exaggeration, we know, but it sets the scene for how unprepared we were for a woman, Betty McDonald, our mother, becoming an overnight success and a best-selling author. We felt it was a wonderful dream that might be snatched away at any moment. We lived on Vashon Island then, and at night we would sit around the fire trying to keep warm and talk about what we would do with the money if the book sold 200 copies, maybe 400. Betty wanted a fireplace in every room and a big wide road down to the house so we wouldn't have to walk the narrow, vine-covered, slug-infested trail anymore. Instead of carrying our groceries in by knapsack 1.5 miles, we could have them delivered. Don McDonald, our father, wanted to buy a case of imported scotch, a case of Money's mushrooms, and big locks for his closets so the girls couldn't get to his clothes. But no road. Don liked his privacy. We girls wanted blast furnaces installed in every room of our big drafty house, and a charge account at the Vashon Pharmacy so we could buy lipstick and nail polish. And we didn't want privacy. We wanted the road. 2 years later, The Egg and I was still number one on the national bestseller list. Betty got the road and the fireplaces. We girls settled for radiant heat under the floors instead of blast furnaces, plus the charge account at the Vashon drugstore, which was to be kept under $25 a month, which to us seemed like $2,500. Don got his case of very old, very expensive imported scotch, his case of mushrooms, and his big locks for his closet, which unfortunately for him didn't come with keys for some strange reason. Of course, he didn't know this until the locks were firmly and securely bolted in place. Don and the road was another matter. He was sure Betty's success was jeopardizing his privacy. We began to find catalogs on the kitchen table and in the bathroom with the corners of pages turned down. Things like electric fences and spikes that came out of the ground and popped tires on cars were circled and marked "Send for." At breakfast one beautiful Saturday morning, we were eating scrambled eggs, with Don's mushrooms in them, and Betty was telling Don that he had lots of privacy, and that he was being a big black future, a family expression, and that nobody knew where we lived, and besides, who would take the ferry clear over to Vashon and try to find our very hidden, very unmarked road? Practically an impossibility. Don wasn't convinced, and he had just started to respond, when a baby in a stroller appeared outside the kitchen window, right in front of us. The baby had a large family behind her. They carried cameras, tapped their fingers on the window, and said, "Take another bite of egg, Betty." We laughed, Betty smiled obligingly, and Don shouted, "God, Betty, do something," and disappeared. The fame had begun. Don's privacy was threatened, but not destroyed. Ivan Dimitri, a Life magazine photographer, moved in with us for a week and took hundreds of pictures of Betty and us and Don when we could find him. Don's voice was around more than Don was, constantly admonishing, "Don't say that." We called
sample complete. Ready to continue?